Hi, this is Day for Night with Guided at Switch, a series that looks at the intersection between theater and poetry in the Edgelands and the wilderness. In today's episode, I'm going to read from a memoir. Don't usually do that, but this is from a wonderful playwright, poet, and memoirist and essayist named Dan O'Brien, a really wonderful writer. And he has a book right now, published in 2023, so almost right now. From Dalkey Archive Press is the publisher, based in Dallas, Texas, and the book is called From Scarsdale, Where a Childhood. And this is a book where Dan recounts his childhood in Scarsdale, which was intense. That's all I'll say about that. It's a beautiful book. It's a beautiful memoir. It's so finely honed and acute in its writing, and also funny and, you know, in the moments where it needs to be, and compassionate, and, you know, it's just an example of what Dan does so well, which is locating in the personal, in the specific, beautiful resonances, and also, you know, open to the contradictions, difficulties, trouble of the world. So that's all I'll say about that. I'm not going to read you the whole book. What I will say is that I'll read sections from it, and hopefully you can pick it up and buy a copy. So I'll read from the opening as it opens, and then a little bit maybe from the back end of the book. We shall see. So the book begins with a kind of sort of introduction, as it were, kind of opening before it actually begins properly. So I'll read that opening for you. He was stumbling around the side of the house, no jacket, no shoes. Was he barefoot? The seat of his jeans, the shoulders and back of his blue wool sweater, his must blonde hair all matted with snow, melting against the glass of the storm door as he struggled to open the front door. The pineapple shaped brass knocker glinted with each jerk. As we pulled into the driveway, I pointed him out to her mother. She followed him inside. Slumped at the breakfast table in slanted winter sunlight, he was crying. No, sobbing, convulsively. I'd never heard such sounds before. She knelt with her hand on his knee. What did you do? She asked him, over and over. Then to me, without looking. Take your sister upstairs. Joyce was away at college. This was her vacated attic bedroom, where I sat on the floor beside my younger sister, Sally, as she played with her dolls. How much time had passed? Stephen appeared out of nowhere, holding baby Tommy in his arms. Paul jumped off the roof, he said, as if sharing some delicious gossip. And her mother was driving him to Dr. Linden. But the roof? How could he have climbed up there? He must have been sick. I'd seen him coughing through his tears, his chest and neck straining for breath. Suddenly, I was certain I would get sick too, would catch his disease, whatever it was. On the way up the stairs, I had noticed that the window in our father's attic office was gone, removed from its quarter moon frame and laid on the floor against the wall. A screwdriver and some screws were scattered across the desk beside a note scribbled on loose leaf, quote, Dear Mom, looks like you'll finally get that playroom you've always wanted, unquote. She'd been pressuring him for months to move up to the attic, Her second born, her eldest son, had grown into a disappointment that she seemed to want only to forget, to exile him to the room where I was now, unaware that I might never truly leave this room again, might never stop trying to understand what was happening to my brother and to us all. That night, when my mother came home, I led her up to the attic. Our father was at the hospital still, the hospital where we'd been born. Paul had been, quote, shaking like a leaf, unquote, when she left his bedside, mother said. I handed her the note and watched her read as she collapsed, crying in my arms. This is a secret, she whispered, her breath in my ear. We must take to our graves. When I was 42 years old, a softball-sized tumor was cut out of my colon. This had been a long time coming, I thought as I lay in the hospital bed. Perhaps the cancer had been growing in me since that Tuesday afternoon of February in 1986 when my brother tried to kill himself. He was 17 and I was 12. And from that day on, I had symptoms brought on by stress. My mother's reassuringly dismissive diagnosis, spastic colon, a curse of the O'Briens, kept me from the doctor sooner. Though the blame, if there must be blame, is mine. Had the tumor been growing for 30 years, fed by my ambition, my masochism, my writing? Had it metastasized like a singularly scarring memory I could not or would not forget? 6 months earlier, my wife had been diagnosed with mid-stage breast cancer. Our daughter was not yet two. I knew that now was the right time, the only time, to begin to tell the truth of my childhood, to understand why ours was a tragic family. To try to cure myself for my family now, my wife and daughter, by writing the story of who I am and where I'm from with honesty, insight, and something like forgiveness. To try to leave the old place behind. Chapter 1, Her Ambition. She laid me down, swaddled upon the snowy skirts of the tree, beneath fragrant needles and glittering multicolored globes, nestled between gift-wrapped boxes as if the magi had already come and gone. I was her early Christmas gift, she liked to say, as my birthday was exactly 3 weeks to the day before Jesus's, and though, she never admitted out loud, I was meant to be her savior. I was born like, I'm here, I'm ready. That's the way my mother told it anyway. And I believe her, having seen my daughter prized from my wife's body, wailing furiously, flopping astride her mother's belly, feeding lustily. Old soul is how old women identified me from the start. And now I see why. As my daughter came into this world with my same furrowed brow, my worried wrinkle between her wide, watchful eyes. On the stairs, tucked between her thighs in the rocking chair in her bedroom, on the sofa, after the world had drained away into schools and shops and office buildings, I listened to my mother recite nursery rhymes. Her childish voice could almost sing. Mother Goose, Humpty Dumpty, all the king's horses and lions and unicorns. Poetry was inculcated here. Also my distrust of strict meter and rhyme. I slapped my bare feet through the bars of my crib. When soiled and sodden, my cries went unanswered. Neglect meant to teach me. I was terrified of the nursery window that looked out on our backyard, and that lightning-struck tree with a knot like a mournful face. I confessed my fear to my mother. You will be a poet, she said to me, maybe for the first time. The unglimpsable surface of tables, the canine smelling carpet, finding friendship with legs, human and wooden, treating shoes as pets. Wind slammed the door and I caterwauled. The door opening in a draft was evidence of the invisible world undisclosed. I derived my first melancholy from a music box with a red-balled crank and handle. Reeling in my tune like a fisherman, I observed the toy's clockwork guts turning through a window in its plastic shell as it haltingly eked out the theme from Swan Lake. At some point, and for no reason I could fathom, I found myself soon on the sunny side of the house, where the windows faced our dead-end street, across the hallway from my parents. I would spend the rest of my childhood in this room. The wallpaper was maritime, clippers and cutters, a salty skipper wrestling his wheel in a squall, and for a while my two older brothers were my bunkmates. How did we all fit in such a confined space? I have no memory of feeling cozy here. Summer twilight outlining the edges of my bedroom curtains could induce in me a panic intimation of the deathbed. I never sucked my thumb or four fingers, did not cling to blankie or binky. I was strange, felt special, born with a nevus in the blue of my iris, a raised mole on my cheek and a flat one on the inside of my left pointer finger, just where my daughter has hers. My daughter and I have plumpish hands, our knuckles dimple. Our veins are hard to find despite our pale skin. We rash quite quickly, are prone to warts. Our necks are willowy, or mine used to be, swan-like, as it was described to me many times and never as a compliment. Also like my daughter, I did not care for holding hands, preferring instead to accompany my shadow through the deep trenches of blizzard streets. Across the snow-blank ball field, I marked my canvas, ice on the heel of my mitten, ice on the heel of my boot, glancing over my shoulder at my parents and siblings, my sparrow tracks like an umbilicus connecting me inescapably to them. I was normal, a hedonist leaping through sprinklers in neighbors' yards, the soaked grass sucking like sponge between my sunburnt toes, running through the line of scarecrow pines to the Mormon's yard, and back again while Mother laid out our lover's picnic in the dandelions and crabgrass, while our mud chipper barked and nipped at my heels. Just like my daughter, I stare at everything I cannot see, especially when I am shy. You think too much, my daughter, like my mother long ago likes to tease, and they are right. We dream, my daughter and I. We enter a room with equipoise and purpose, and others seem to want to listen, to follow, as if we were self-possessed. Often enough, we are enough unto ourselves. I catch myself staring at my daughter as my father used to stare at me. I am awestruck, as fathers ought to be, by the clarity of her composite beauty, her exponentially blooming knowledge, the ever-shifting mixture of whom she resembles most in appearance and behavior. Perhaps my father was similarly amazed as he watched me across the dining room table, though I doubt it. His gaze was confounded and disturbed. He was studying me, searching for the solution to a mystery that predated my birth. That was my birth, in a way. Though decades would pass before it occurred to me to solve this mystery for myself. And that's from Scarsdale, Childhood by Dan O'Brien, published 2023 by Dalkey Archive Press. Seek it out, wonderful memoir by a wonderful writer. As always, this is about you and I in this theater, you there in the dark, and I here wondering who you are. Thanks for listening today for night.